Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue named Jairus came to him, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live. So Jesus went with him. And a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had. And she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. For she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately, her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately, aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say who touched me?" He looked all around to see who had done it, but the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? A child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this, they were overcome with amazement. And he strictly ordered them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. The Gospel of the Lord. The Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is good to those who wait for him, to the soul that seeks him. Amen. We have much to learn about who we are and who God is from plants. Jesus taught his disciples, having intimate knowledge of flora all around him, "I am the vine, you are the branches." A sower goes out to sow, as this sort of pre-modern environmentalist, planting seeds wherever possible, planting, planning, pruning, fertilizing, all of this connects us to the voice of God speaking deep within us. Here's how I found that voice. In January, I earnestly desire to fulfill a long-time goal of mine, to make jars upon jars upon jars of freshly pickled cucumbers so that I can enjoy them privately and maybe share with people around me. That's a big maybe. So I set about planning the maximum yield that I could get out of 4 plants. Maximum is kind of an understatement. A couple of months later, these 4 vines absolutely took over my entire veggie raised bed, entangling with the tomatoes, snuffing out the dill. The vine had gotten so large that I was not able to properly pick every cucumber in due time. Here's some show and tell. Let me show you what happened. So I was hoping, and this is courtesy of Shannon Ostrowski, to have a jar of pickles like this, right? So, right, normal small pickle, right? Right? Okay, wait, just a little bit more. Normal-ish. And it's bitter. I can't eat it, I can't cut it. See what I mean? I came to learn about myself that I'm not a big fan of the process of growing. I can get so caught up in my plans and so impatient that I literally forget to smell the roses. That's the same thing as the Christian life. The life is a process, not a destination. Our life is daily dying and rising to God. Healing from illnesses is a part of that process. It can be the common cold or the flu, anxiety, depression, mania, or maybe more serious illnesses like cancer or cardiovascular diseases. We know there's treatments good and bad. Where I come from, some Vicks VapoRub and 7-Up does the trick. You add the magic words, sana, sana, colita de rana, and there you have it, all done, no long out and drawn process. Then, of course, there are other illnesses that devastate the body in treatment. And some of us have known this quite well. Healing is not a destination. It's found along the way of God's reign. The first acts that Jesus does along this way of God's reign is to heal people, casting out demons and healing all the sick that have gathered around Peter's mother-in-law's house. All throughout Galilee and Capernaum, Jesus is a rock star healer, transforming the lives of so many folks suffering from all kinds of diseases. Wherever he went, the crowds followed and pushed in on him, hoping that he would be the solution to their, he would be the answer to their question. And in one of those crowds, there was this woman whose name has been lost to us, who tried literally everything to get rid of her chronic illness. She had suffered from hemorrhages for 12 years. The more she tried to find solutions to her condition, the worse she got. She got tired and impatient about all this healing process, if you want to really call that. She was yearning to have that kind of body-restoring peace. She's like many of us who are recovering from procedures and strokes, heart attacks, the healing work of chemotherapy, anxiety disorders, and the like. When will the process end? And as we celebrate Pride this weekend, I think of all those folks who have suffered and are suffering from the devastating condition that is AIDS. In all of this, we need to be aware of the depth of religious trauma that people have when it comes to faith and illness. Believing that illness is the result of our moral failings, or it's a lesson that God is trying to teach you because you deserve everything that happens to you. Our nameless woman is at wit's end when she decides to touch Jesus' cloak. And suddenly she feels that she has been healed, just as Jesus begins to notice her. And Jesus begins to call out to whoever that person was who in their suffering reached out to be healed. And after coming to him in fear and trembling, Jesus begins to call her in. Into a relationship not of judgment and fear, but of regaining her voice. Speaking from that deep place within each of us that reaches out, trusting God and loving others all around. We are made to reach out and go to others. And herein lies true healing, to find your voice, your presence, your outstretched arm, as Christ reaches out to you to make you whole. It's a way that doesn't offer a quick fix or an escape from every kind of illness and trauma. But it is so that we can discover who God made us to be, with all of our gifts, our personal stories, our wisdom, even though pain and suffering tell us otherwise. How much healing would there be in this world if we could only take up our voice, trusting that God has placed a listening ear and a hurting heart to hear us? We as a community of faith have done so. Out in the narthex, you will find a binder from our archives entitled AIDS Care Team, LGBTQIA and RIC Issues. I invite you to take some time after worship to look through these pages of all the folks who have lived into their authentic voice, a voice that provided comfort to so many Houstonians in the last week of their lives dying from AIDS. There is such a Houstonian that many of us have known who died from AIDS and yet whose voice still reverberates in these walls today. Mr. Michael Fry. Michael was an active member of our altar guild and of the Building and Ascensions Committee and the Worship Committee and the Church Council. He sang with the choir in Vox Society. He was an assisting minister like our folks here. And many of you have stories that you could share about his life. Share them with all of us today. And in honor of his voice, there is a chalice and a paten in this congregation that bears the image of a bunny. It's underneath the very paten and the chalice itself, which was associated with him through his use of bunny prints throughout the season of Easter. We will be using those today in worship, his life, his dying, as a result of AIDS, became through us a voice, a witness to the process of healing and being healed through the loving care and attention of both Michael and us to him. So how much healing would be in the world if we could only take up our voice? We would be planting seeds that would maximize true healing in a world bent on silencing voices for peace. Despite all my cucumber mishaps, I tend plants, knowing that God is speaking through them to the deepest part of who I am, despite the voices of my anxiety and depression telling me otherwise, telling me that I'm not beloved. We have faith, not in the knowledge that we will be healed, but that every day, as we turn a new leaf, we are being healed. And Jesus shows us this way. It's a way of peace in the midst of pain and suffering. And in those moments where you think that there's a voice telling you otherwise, the voice of your pain and suffering, there's another one deep within you saying, rather singing, "The Lord is my portion, therefore I will hope in him." Amen.